Moncrief on News Talk.
I couldn't do your day, not one day. Not one day. No, you win. Just the thought of being in proximity of a dead body, it would destroy my brain space.
Maybe
with
if I hadn't seen death at such a young age.
That's Scarpetta. You can stream the entire first season now on Amazon Prime Video. James Dempsey's with us once again to tell us about it. Afternoon, James.
Afternoon.
It's a surprise in a way this wasn't made sooner, but given the popularity of the books, it's been floating around for a long time.
I can even remember my mother, who's a great crime reader, carrying copies of Patricia Cornwell's books around in the 90s. So to have taken this long to get somewhere is a really long time. Not without attempts. So attempts were made to do a version of this as a movie in the 90s with Demi Moore. Then a more serious attempt was made in 2009 with Angelina Jolie attached. And then Patricia Cornwell herself has said that at times she has approached other people, including Helen Mirren, to try and get it somewhere, and Jodie Foster trying to get it off the ground. And finally, we get this version of it. And it wasn't worth the wait.
Right? No.
Now, I haven't read the the K. Scarpetta novels, of which there are 29 in total.
Yeah.
So there's plenty of, material to choose from. And the creator of this, who's a showrunner who's worked on numerous things, Liz Sarnoff, she's worked on Lost, Barry, Deadwood, she has crafted a story here which follows two timelines, and my understanding that is not the case in any one of the novels. Just kind of follow the life of Dr. Scarpetta, a medical examiner. Now, I thought that meant forensic scientist, but at one point in the film, in the series, she goes to great lengths to explain she's not a forensic scientist, even though she's cutting up lots of bodies and doing a lot of forensic science. I don't really know what her job is.
Okay.
Right?
But she wouldn't go to a crime scene and go, the suspect was 6'2" and weighed 180 pounds kind of stuff. She's just carving up bodies.
She does all that. Yeah, I suppose she looks at, blood splattering and all that kind of stuff, right?
Okay.
But she seems to be doing
a bit forensic-y to me, all right?
But she seems to be doing a lot more investigating than forensic work almost, and putting out fires left, right and centre in both her personal and professional life. Now, the series follows two different actresses playing Scarpetta. In contemporary times, we have Nicole Kidman, who, is really making a go of it on TV as much as movies these days. And then Rosie McEwen plays Yonke. I wasn't too familiar with her. I know her most from an episode of Black Mirror in the last run of Black Mirror, but I found it interesting to read she was the second choice to the role that Saoirse Ronan got in Atonement. So she's thereabouts.
Yeah.
Right. So her career could have gone in a very different direction at Once Upon a Time. And what I found bizarre about the show is, so it jumps back 25 years to watch young Dr. Scarpetta doing her thing. But that is meant to be the 1990s, and it is the 1990s from Stranger Things. It is so 80s looking in terms of style and fashion and their approach to language and technology, even what they're using. They talk about a computer in, the late 90s as if this is something completely and utterly alien, whatever. Anyway, all in, it's following the two different timelines. The perhaps best casting is you have in contemporary times, Bobby Cannavale playing Pete Marino. He's a cop when we go back 25 years. And in that version, he's played by his son. So at least they have an actual physical, chemistry, right, shall we say, or likeness is probably better. Anyway, all in, it's a very strange show because it's following different forensic mysteries tied somewhat together, right? Mm. So we have 30-odd-ish, or almost 30 years ago, Kay Scarpetta, has been made the chief medical examiner of Virginia and is on a case involving a woman who's found brutally murdered, as you would expect in this kind of thing from the 90s, I suppose, right? Brutally murdered and trussed up on a forensic table and poked and prodded and sliced, etc. And then 30 years later, we find her back in her job, having taken some time to work in Boston, and is now wondering, is the current case somewhat tied to that original case?
Okay.
This case which made her name, which made her career, did she get it right, etc. Now, I actually think that sounds like a totally fine and good premise for a show, particularly because you could show the advancement in forensic, technology in the 30 years that Kay has been at it. But they then throw everything and the kitchen sink of family life drama at K. So a significant person in this is also Jamie Lee Curtis, who plays her sister, Dorothy Scarpetta, who is wife of Bobby Cannavale's Pete Marino and mother of Ariana DeBose's Lucy, who is her kind of hacker computer expert niece, who also spends a lot of her time talking to an AI. Right.
Yeah.
And then I'm, it kind of lost me at the AI. And then it especially lost me when astronauts were falling out of space into a field. Right. And like okay. It was going in all of these absolutely bizarre directions. And they seemed to be red herrings to the central mystery, which was kind of interesting in and of its own right. But when we got to episode 7 and 8, I'm going, can we just like, can we just wrap this up, please?
Yeah.
Right. So for me, the family drama aspect didn't necessarily work particularly well. Less so the Jamie Lee Curtis bit. I mean, she and Nicole Kidman have good chemistry as sisters, who we heard in the clip there, who are sparring and arguing and cranky with each other. I was less enthused by Nicole's relationship, or Kay Scarpetta's relationship with her husband, Benton Wesley. He's played by Simon Baker, also an Australian actor, in the modern version, and Hunter Parrish in the younger version. He's an FBI agent, so they sort of professionally rub against each other because they can't cross boundaries, etc., etc. All in, I found their kind of marriage issues an extra thing to be dealing with that perhaps I didn't quite need. He only seemed to really be there to have an excuse for her to live in this beautiful palatial Virginia mansion.
Yeah.
But all in, it just seems like...
she's a medical examiner and he's an FBI agent.
Exactly, yes. They meet on the job. Sparks fly over a cadaver. What can we say, right? But all in, it has a very good cast. They are game and they definitely elevate the material. But it just seemed like a total and utter mess to me.
Mm.
Very forgettable.
Is this based on one of the books, or have they kind of packed in a lot of, I think, like these two books in?
I think they have. They are trying to tie the modern Kay Scarpetta with the old Kay Scarpetta. And as there are 29 books, I mean, this is kind of like, you know, like a Lee Child type, you know, publishing powerhouse with tens of millions of copies of these books being sold. I've not read any of them, but my research says that like fans love the original ones and think the more modern ones have veered away from the forensic science technical aspect that kind of made them novel and interesting towards this kind of very psychological procedural drama where Kay is now placed at the center of, you know, fights for her life against various baddies, right?
But it sounds like they've started at the end, if you like, rather than starting with novel 1 or 5.
Definitely. Because I suppose they attached Nicole Kidman to it. and now they can show Kay Scarpetta at the end of her career rather than the beginning. And instead, they decided to do both.
Yeah. Absolutely love Dr. Kay Scarpetta books. Surprised it's taken this long to turn them into movies or a TV series. Yeah, but those things can happen for all sorts of reasons that are outside the control of the various parties. Our next show is Age of Attraction. You can stream episodes from season 1 now on Netflix. Here's a clip.
Are you afraid of like outside judgment? Is that something that concerns you?
No, I mean, I'm just, what do you think? Like, I don't know, how do you feel about, I mean, because like there's obviously a visible age gap, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
thanks.
No, I mean.
Do you think people are going to think I'm your mom?
No, I mean, I'm just saying.
There's an age gap. That's the whole thing.
That is the entire premise, yeah.
Yeah.
Right, so obviously Netflix were very successful with Love is Blind. It has now run for 10 seasons. I don't know how many years it's been on, but like 10 seasons of a dating show is pretty successful. The premise of that was obviously people talk through a screen, they fall in love, they propose, and then we see what happens afterwards.
Yeah.
And, you know, I cannot deny the first couple of seasons of Love is Blind, I ate up because it made for bizarrely weird, compelling viewing. But it's 10 seasons in, and the last season was renowned for having really terrible men who clearly did not think Love Was Blind despite going on a show called that, right? So Netflix is casting a wider net in the hope of finding something that can catch on and become an international franchise in the way that Love Is Blind has. And this one, yeah, I don't know if it's going to work, right? So first of all, it's hosted by Nick Vile. You're probably not familiar with him. I'm not too familiar with him. I know he was one of the bachelors of the Bachelor series.
Okay.
And his wife or partner, I don't know if they're actually married, Natalie Joy, they have an 18-year age gap in their relationship. he, you know, bring back Nick Lachey is all I'm going to say of Love is Blind. Who knew that he actually had a lot of charm if you compare him to this guy? Then they bring the contestants on, you know, to this, like, I'm going to say ski resort in Vancouver during summertime. So it's all very verdant and beautifully, you know, looking. And they, the couples go on speed dating. But, you know, let's be clear, they can see each other. I mean, there's no... Like, they are aware that they're entering a show where we are asking the ultimate question, is age holding you back, you know? Like,
okay, that's the ultimate question? Right. Oh, wow. Okay, well, I didn't know that.
Right. So they go on all of these dates, but it is very clear who is the older and who is the younger person, right? Like, as in, we all have eyes and they are not allowed to ask each other what their age is. But of course, some of them go, well, you know, I do have a 18-year-old daughter and I have, or, you know, or I, you know, they talk about movies and TV shows and cultural touchstones of their generational identity, which, you know, feed some sort of information to you. Then anyway, we pair our couples down and they go into, you know, like a weird thing called the promise room or something where they declare, you know, they offer each other the question of, will you promise yourself to me and I'll put a wedding ring on your right hand rather than your left hand kind of vibe, right? And only then are they allowed to ask each other's age. And I will say in the very first one where, you know, like I remember watching Love is Blind and the very first time somebody said, I love you to somebody through... through a wall, thinking this is really weird. Like, in the, you know, in the first one where they then, you know, where they revealed their ages. And I watched, you know, even I, cynical that I was while watching this, was a little taken back by quite how big the distance in age gap here is. Because, like, the smallest age gap we're looking at is 16 years and the biggest one is 33 years. You know, and these people going, I think he's 10 years older than me. And I go, I think he has a bus pass. But anyway, all
I assume they're all shot to hell with Botox and hair pieces and all
I
that
mean,
stuff.
Clearly they are all, like, they are all people who have put themselves forward to appear on a TV show where they are dating, right? So they are preened and, you know, perfected and coiffed, etc., etc. Anyway, the problem then happens that, you know, the problem with the show, with the premise, as far as I see it, is within the bubble of the dating sphere, age is clearly not a problem because they have all agreed to appear on a TV show where we're asking the ultimate question of, is age a problem? And within the sphere of the show, it isn't.
Yeah.
It is only when they go out into their actual lives and then they have to live together that we, you know, live with each other, with their friends and family and society and whatever, looking at these age gaps, couples thinking, I'm not sure about this, that then potentially some drama will come into it.
Ah, right.
So
okay.
We get a run of 5 episodes and they are excruciatingly 1 hour long each. and we explore their relationships, and at the point we are in, at the point we have left it, at, you know, we have our couples, not all of them make it, but we're about to now introduce family members to really see how tight we can, you know, twist the screws of misery and see if they will be ashamed of their relationships. But the problem with the shows like these and the Love is Blind formula is you have to endure 3 hours of the most boring fighting couples have ever had on television, where they sit on a couch and look at each other and go, well, I felt a bit bad when you said this and I felt a bit sad, but, you know, I felt, do you think I'm a bit old for you? I'm not sure. Am I too young for you? I'm not sure. And this goes on and on and on and on while we're all getting older watching it. So I don't think it's going to be a dating show for, you know, the ages. And it made me think about, like, why I think First Dates is the single best dating show on television. Because, first of all, they bring together people from all walks of life, from all kinds of, you know, physical looks to ages to economic power, you know, status, whatever. And we only have to watch one date.
Yes, right? Yeah. And you kind of want them to succeed.
You do want them to succeed because often they are charming or nervous or fun or whatever. And it's very kind of attractive to watch young, attractive people or even older, not too attractive people or younger, not too attractive people or older, very attractive people chatting and flirting and having like a meet cute, quote unquote, right? Because then you don't have to watch the follow up.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you just get to see all of the charm and none of the, you know, are we meant to be conversations? Yeah. And this instead, repeat, like, you know, it just goes over and over the same arguments over and over and over again ad nauseum, that, like, I feel like it's the kind of show you need to watch while you're cleaning your bathroom. So you don't really need to be paying attention at all, because any major event will be signposted with dramatic music pop songs you've never heard of before, and then a catch up 5 minutes later. Anyway.
And succeeding, what are the terms of success in this show? Is it until the when the older one dies that they're still together?
Are you put on the will? Yeah, I don't know. So I think they have teased that, you know, the couples are going to go this distance. They will bring in family members to meet each other and decide, you know, decide if they can go the distance beyond that. And then eventually they very oddly said, we're going to bring them up to the top of a mountain where they can have a ultimate discussion about whether they want to commit to each other forever. And I don't know what happens at the top of the mountain if one of them doesn't want to commit.
Well, maybe the altitude mightn't be good for the older ones, the thinness of the air. Right, our last show is Twisted Yoga. You can stream the entire series now on Apple TV+. Here's a clip.
In the school, some people are invited to take extracurricular classes.
They took my passport, they get a Bible out, and you have to say, I swear on my health and my spiritual evolution that I will not reveal any of the secrets.
Right, that's Twisted Yoga. When it's these kind of subjects, it's sometimes you kind of suspect maybe it's just prurience they're playing to rather than telling an important story.
Yeah, and this, I think, in somewhat does both, right, yeah, to be honest with you. So there's no denying there are lurid details of this case, but the case is incredibly sad. It is about scores of women, if not hundreds of women, who were essentially trafficked, allegedly, but almost certainly, through yoga schools all over the world to Romania, to then be indoctrinated into this extra classes of yoga by this guru, a man named Gregorian Bivolaru, sorry, and my Romanian is not great, who is a infamous figure in Romania for numerous scandals going back decades. And we heard in the clip there, Ashley, who's an Australian woman, she's kind of our introductory character, for want of a better word, into this world, because she had moved from Australia to London and really got into yoga when a friend of hers told her about this class. She was interested in sort of new ageism, shall we say, like numerology, astrology, any kind of spirituality, let's say. And she found these classes unbelievably interesting and very fulfilling for her, and then was invited to go to this extra place. And upon arriving there, you know, her own kind of gut, I would say, was telling her, this is not right. This, this doesn't feel right. This is very strange. You don't want to do these things that they're asking you to do. And she actually trusts her gut and she doesn't. And then, of course, the cult type leadership then starts trying like a new tact of convincing her how wrong she is, that she's listening to these inner demons that are leading her in the wrong direction, etc., etc. All in, I thought that they handled as sensitively as they could a story that is essentially about a, you know, Romanian yoga sex cult, yeah, right? But at the same time, where it was more interesting to me was exposing or looking at law enforcement in different countries and the approaches that they have towards cults. Because when Ashley ultimately breaks free of this cult, and of course we know that because she's, you know, speaking to the camera, right? She talks about how she was so, you know, she'd moved back to Australia and she was telling a friend who looked at her aghast, and she thought, I can't even really go to the police because if I try to explain to them what happened, they're just going to laugh at me.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, investigators in France have this specialist unit that deals specifically with cults because they have laws in France about the kind of personal liberties that someone can have and how people who infringe upon that are breaking the law, and have a specialist unit that deals specifically with cult leaders and tracking them down across international, you know, lines. And even Romanian police talking about how they busted, you know, Gregorian originally in 2004, and this absolutely bizarre TV interview he did on a kind of like current affairs TV show that became this infamous thing in Romania that every Romanian person knows about, and how it was not big enough for him, you know, for that to be known internationally. So he was able to, you know, flee basically to Sweden and claim asylum there because during the communist regime, yoga actually had been banned by the communist regime of Romania, and how messy it is. So All in, does it need to be three parts? Probably not, right? Like, could they have told a tighter little story in an hour and a half to 2 hours? Yes, I do think so. But it is a fascinating and very sad look at, you know, this story. It comes from a female director named Rowan Deacon, who's best known for making Jimmy Savile, a British horror story on Netflix. So I think she has passed, you know, experience in this realm and understands how you need to approach it sensitively while also making it sort of interesting at the same time as a viewer.
Yeah. This guy, Gregorian, where is he still in Sweden?
I think he's arrested at the end, but of course he denies all his charges.
Yeah, indeed. Right, those three shows are Scarpetta. You can stream the entire first season on Amazon Prime Video. Age of Attraction, you can stream episodes from season one now on Netflix. And Twisted Yoga, you can stream the entire series on Apple TV Plus. James Dempsey, thanks a million.
Thank you.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.